How did I get here? My name's Denny Yarnell. I live up in Summit Valley. Kind of give you a little background here. And this will hold this, right? It's my big old Bible. And so I used to go to church out in, well, originally in Summit Valley, but we were doing these day camps on our farm, and we started out like the first year there was only 15 kids. A few years later there was like 150 kids coming out there riding the horses, and we'd share the gospel and do crafts and take them on hikes and all kinds of things. And then you know, when we started that, I really wasn't too interested in it. My wife did most of that first year. So my part was to get up kind of at the end and share the gospel. And I remember that first day, we got up and shared the gospel, and some kids responded. I had some other people pray with them. I went out behind the tent we had set up, and I was bawling like a baby. I couldn't believe that God could use me in that way. Anyways, we went down the road. I'm like 35, 40 years old. And I felt the Lord speaking to me about being involved in ministry. And I was like, no, Lord, I don't want to do this. I was afraid of that when I came to the Lord. Maybe that could happen, and I didn't want anything to do with it. I don't really like getting in front of people, but I fought that for like a year, and I finally come to the conclusion I had to do it because I didn't have any peace not doing it. And it was like I was sicking God on everybody in my community, and He's saying, I want you to do this. And I finally gave in to that and said, okay. So I ended up working with Don Bow and Dan Stone. I don't know if you know them, but years ago they had started a church up by Addy on the highway out there. And so I kind of got broke in up there a little bit. And after that, we went Youth with a Mission, and we went over and helped start a church at Rice. It was in an old building there. And then we ended up, the last thing we did was we pastored Summit Valley Church up at Summit Valley. And, you know, it's been good just trying to go through walking with the Lord and being obedient to Him. And I see you guys kind of struggling here, you know, with doing some of this stuff that you're not familiar with doing. But I'll tell you, I want to encourage you, because it's good. And the Lord's stretching you. And it's okay. And I think it's great. But what I want to talk to you a little bit today is really not something you guys don't know about probably already. But I just want to encourage you in a few things. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, we thank You for what You're doing right here in this church, this building, Lord, in these people. And Lord, I pray that You would just continue to use them and help them, give them strength, give them wisdom, give them discernment, Lord, and help them as they work here for You, Lord. What a terrific opportunity they have to minister in this area, Lord, in this community. So, Lord, we hold them up to You, ask You to be with them in the name of Jesus. Just be with us today as we look into Your Word. And, Lord, I pray You just prick our hearts, Lord, and show us the things that You want us to see. So, Lord, be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So I was really surprised last week, as I thought I'd come down here and kind of check you all out, you know. Not really, okay. I really came out to, last week to kind of see how you guys did stuff. You know, I want to be an encouragement to you, not come in and offend people and do stuff that you don't normally do or whatever. So I just wanted to come down and kind of take a look and see how it's going. And I'll tell you, I really enjoyed it. One of the things that happened just as we were leaving home was my wife got a phone call about from her sister, and their older sister has Alzheimer's, and her daughter's taking care of her, and Teresa's other sister, they all kind of live in the same, I don't know, apartment kind of thing, complex, not all together. But they weren't getting along very good. Well, by the time we got in the car to come down here, my wife was pretty upset. So we come here, and the man that shared was speaking on peace. And I don't know how you guys do it. You're a small group of people. You guys might be discouraged, or maybe you're not. I don't know. But I'll tell you, the guy got up here and shared about peace, and it helped us. I don't know what it did to the rest of you, but it helped us. I don't care if you're a big group or a small group. The Lord still works among each one of us, and whatever group it is. And that was encouraging to me. Even though it might have been hard for some of you guys last week trying to do some of this stuff, just like today, you're here, you're doing the best you can, it's good. And the way I see it, you guys have a terrific opportunity here to reach this area. You got a good facility. You got people that are taking part. Some of those things, we'll talk about that a little later, but I was really surprised last week. I haven't been able to preach a lot lately, but since, I don't know, what's it been, Teresa? 10 years or more since I've pastored Summit Valley Church. But I've done a few things, and I was preached at one church a while ago, and I've done some like funeral things and different things like that. But last week we came, it was all done. You guys went in the other room to figure out your songs and stuff for this week. And when Judy came out, we know Judy and Mike for years. Our kids, some of them were the same age and everything. And we said, why don't we go to Subway and get a sandwich? So we hung out while they were getting ready last week, and Judy come out from the other room, and I said, well, what are you guys doing? They're like getting ready for this week. So what are you guys going to sing? What songs were you going to sing? And she said this, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, that's kind of what I was going to preach on. I wasn't going to use that till later in the sermon. But I was like, that's amazing. God figures stuff out. He knows. He knows each one of you. He's got your best interest in heart. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you to be worshiping, and he wants to build you up, and all of that. And so anyway, you'll hear, I'm not going to read that scripture again, but you'll hear some of it later. But not looking back, but looking ahead. I've been in your position. When we went to Rice to work with this building, had been closed up for years, and we didn't know anybody over there, and we were still going to Addy New Life Christian Center. Do you remember all this, Ellie?
Yeah.
And so the church, they announced they were going to open this church up, and I looked at my wife and said, "That's we need to be part of that." So we went and talked to Dan, and he said, "Okay, we're going to set up a leadership team." So they set up a leadership team of three of us to go over there and kind of lead that. That building been closed up forever. So we go and open it up. And we don't know what we're doing. You know, I go around banging on doors and saying we're going to open up that church and stuff. And we had a breakfast in the mornings and stuff. And some people would come eat breakfast, go home. Some would come and stay. But we just kept on. And there wasn't a very big group of us. It wasn't even this many, I don't think, at first. And I kept telling this one older lady that would come, I said, there's not many of us here now, but you watch. The Lord's going to work, and he's going to touch people's hearts and lives. And one day, down the road, there'll be a lot of people in this church. And I went back probably 5 years or 6 years. We were over there about 5 years. So we went back about, I don't even know, later, a while later. And the lady, this one older lady, she come up to me and she says, you remember when you told me about, you know, not very many of us here now, but the Lord would work and bring in more people, and one day there'd be more people in the church. And I said, yeah. She says, look at it now. And it was almost full. But that's really cool. But they struggled too. Pastors came and pastors went. Some of them stayed too long and some didn't stay long enough. And they went through some struggles at different times, just like happens. But now it's doing really well again. And they've got a good pastor there that's doing a good job, and people are getting behind them and all of that. But I tell you that just to encourage you because of where you're at, okay? God did not leave you or forsake you. He's with you. So let's kind of get started today. Where I want to preach from is out of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. So if you have your Bibles, maybe you could turn there. I want to just kind of give you a little overview at first. There's really only one verse that I want to talk about in a little while. But before we do that, let's... I don't know where this came from, but... Don't get old. It's hard to turn. It's hard to... get up and down. So the theme, the author's Paul, the theme was church problems and solutions. Churches are pretty much like they were back then. There's problems in them. There's hard times in them. And there's good times in them. So what are some of the solutions? And that's some of the things we want to look at today. But it was written around AD 55 or 56, 57, somewhere in that area. The background is Corinth was a prominent city in Greece in Paul's day. It was affluent, but it was morally corrupt. It was a sinful place. Sin of every kind flourished. Paul and those with him, along with Priscilla and Aquila, started a church there. The church was started during his 18 months ministry in Corinth on his second missionary journey. Remember, Paul went on like three different missionary journeys and planted a lot of church. Well, it's kind of like today. Here you are, a group of people, but you've got some elders and everything. Wherever Paul went, he'd either appoint elders or he'd come back and appoint elders, or some other people that were helping him in ministry would stay and work there and like that. But it was written, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, they were written because a group of people came to Paul from the congregation after Paul had left and talked to him and reported kind of about some problems. Also, a letter, another time, was sent to Paul by people, obviously, there wasn't mail back in that day, and requesting Paul's instruction on a very variety of issues. So Paul wrote the letter, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Two primary reasons. One was to correct the serious problems that had been reported that the Corinthians seemed to take really lightly, but Paul considered to be pretty sinful. I guess I shouldn't say pretty sinful, because all sin's the same. But a second reason was to provide counsel and instruction on a variety of questions about doctrine, personal and corporate conduct, and purity. Some of these things were internal divisions, immorality, eating food offered to idols, or disorder in worship, false teaching concerning the resurrection. So I want to jump now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because the verse I want to use today is verse 58. But if we kind of do a little review of 1 Corinthians, he talks about the resurrection of Christ. He reminds the Christians of the gospel that he, Paul, preached. In verses 3 and 4, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 says this: "For what I received, I pass on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. And it goes on. So he appeared to the 12. He appeared to more than 500 other believers at the same time. He appeared to James and all the apostles, and last of all to Paul. And then he goes on, verse 12, and talks about the resurrection of the dead. I'm not going to go through all of that today, but some of the points are about the certainty of Christ's resurrection, the victory of Christ, the last enemy is death, and warnings about bad company and evil associations. Talks about bad company, you didn't want the yeast to go through all the, that it'll spread, you know, and stuff like that. If you hang out with bad company, he uses that example that you know, it influences us. Don't hang out with bad company. Talks about in verse 34, not to stop sinning. You know, sometimes we take our Christianity pretty light, and we accept Christ, but there's not a lot of change in our life. And I don't know how you guys experienced it, but when I experienced accepting Christ, I accepted him in a Bible study. It's like I'm walking this way in sin. I asked Jesus to forgive me, come into my life, and I turned and walked this way with Jesus. So I got a question for you. Why sometimes do people make that commitment or believe or however you want to express that, and they just keep walking the same old way they were before? And these are some of the things that were happening in Corinth. And he's like, no, stop sinning. And in one place in the Word it says, shall we keep on sinning? And the Word says, no. There's a change comes in our life when we accept him. I walk now with Jesus, going this way with him. And he guides me and he leads me. And that's the kind of commitments that we want to have. It's all part of just believing. Or some people put it, we're saved by grace Others people say we're born again. However you express that, there's got to be a heart change. And he comes in, lives within us. So anyway, we get down to verse 35, and then he talks about the resurrection of the body, and he tells how we'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye, and how death will be swallowed up in victory. Then there's one verse I want us to see. That's verse 58, and it goes like this. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You ever thought of that word, therefore? When it says therefore, we need to go back and look what came before that. Because what he's talking about, and the way I kind of worded it, was because of all this that came before this, do this. Okay? So all the stuff that he explained about in there, now he's saying, do this. Okay? And what does he tell us to do? When we read it, it's two things there, three really, but stand firm. Stand firm in your faith. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. What you folks are doing here is not in vain, okay? God will bring good stuff out of it. You need to stand firm. So what does standing firm mean? I don't know what Bible you guys use here, whether it's NIV or King James, or whether it matters to you or not. I kind of read out of the King or out of the NIV, but I also think it's really good to be watching what the NIV says, King James says. So if we looked at it in the King James Version, it uses words like this: steadfast, unmovable. This is what the words mean in the Greek, is steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The Greek word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I don't know how to pronounce them, all right? But it means be seated, settled, and firm in the truth of the resurrection and of victory in Christ. Another one of the words means immovable. Let nothing shake your faith or move you away from the hope of the gospel. Number three, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that what you do will be rewarded. So the whole point, I guess, this morning is we know those things, really, but how do we put them into practice? Knowing about it and putting it into practice sometimes, or at least in my life, sometimes that's two different things. So how do we put it into practice? And I want to encourage you with some things that I think will help. And again, you're going to know all of them, okay? But maybe you just needed a reminder. Number one, stick with the gospel. Well, we can say a lot of different churches kind of, talk about it in a different way and all that. Stick with the gospel that the apostles taught. Stick to the gospel it talks about in the Bible. Okay? Salvation by faith. It's by grace, not by works. You're not saved by works. You do works because we are saved. Okay? Because God did a mighty work in my life. I want to serve Him and walk with Him and do what He says for us to do. Not to get saved. But I struggle sometimes with how people present it. And sometimes I hear people talking about grace, which is good, it's biblical, but if you take that grace and take it so far that you just keep on sinning, that's not a good thing. That's not what Jesus talks about in the Word. So I kind of struggle with some of that, because the pattern that I see in the Bible is that they got saved, they got discipled, and they served God, and they went out and they shared the gospel. And they didn't keep on sinning. Like I said, the Word says, should we keep on sinning? No. But if you do, ask His repent. Ask His forgiveness. I don't know about you guys, but some of the places that I go, I don't hear a whole lot about repentance anymore, or forgiveness, or some of these basic things that need to be taught. So I want to encourage you today to stick with the gospel that the apostles told about. And you can see a pattern of this in wherever it was in here, in chapter 15, if you look at it, you'll see, I think it was in chapter 15, maybe it was back in 3 or something, but it told what Paul kind of went through, that Christ did come and He died on the cross, He rose again in 3 days, and He, you know, hung on the cross for our sins. And then He went on to be with Jesus, and Jesus was with the on the right hand of the Father. And so we need to be sure about our teaching on salvation, the gospel, and continue the work. Last week, like I said before, I've really enjoyed seeing so many of you take part. So many times, and I don't know if you've heard it or not, I've heard it a lot of times. I heard it in Summit Valley Church 50 years ago when I first moved there. And I would hear, we hire a pastor to do that. That's not a good, that's a red flag for me. Yeah, there's a place for a pastor. We need a pastor and all of that. But He's not the only thing. And then another thing that always bothers me is when they go to find a pastor, why is it that we look and say, the thing that seems to be the most important thing is, how good a speaker is he on Sunday morning? That's not a way to hire a pastor. Yeah, it's good. We all like to sit and listen to somebody that's really good speaker. But if that's not the only thing that needs to happen, pastors need to be involved in people's lives. They need to do a lot of things. And one of the things they're supposed to do is raise up people to do the works of ministry. And that's what I saw you guys doing last week and this week. And that's an encouragement to me, and that says something about the way over the years that you guys have been taught or whatever. I don't know what the right word would be. But you're carrying on. Last week when I was here, some of you didn't feel very comfortable leaving to worship. And yeah, we'd all like to do better, but you're learning, you're growing. Somebody else shared the Word. We got people running the sound thing. I don't even know how many people. there must have been at least five or six people that were taking part. That's what it's talking about good works. We need each other. And I thought it was really good. You'll grow and you'll learn, and yeah, you're pushed. It's not easy. Maybe a struggle for some of you, maybe all of you. You're being stretched. But let me say this. It's good for you. It's good for you to be stretched. Might not be comfortable, but it's good for you. Philippians 3:14 and 13. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says this. I'm going to read it out of here. You know, you get old, you can't even read the Bible without getting some Bible that's about this big, so you can have a big print and be able to see it. So I have my wife print it out on the piece of paper. It's easier to see. It says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Forget about last year. So I understand that you haven't had a pastor for like a year. So I think Mike's what you said. Forget about last year. You've got a new year coming ahead. And as I was praying about what to share, I was like, I want to do a New Year's message. You know, forget the past. But that's only part of it. But forget what was happened. There's struggles and stuff in churches, just like if you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, there were struggles in the churches. It's going to be that way till Jesus comes. The difference is, will we address the problems? Will we find solutions for the problems? Will we love one another? Will we move ahead? So, there's a scripture that talks about when we are weak, we are strong. And the one on how God uses weak things of the world. And we don't, I'm not sure exactly where those are right now. I didn't look those up. But Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Again, you can't work your way into heaven, but we do good works because we love Him and we follow Him. Another thing is pray. Pray for strength, and that God will move and work amongst you, that He will meet your needs, and a lot of other things. Pray about the situation, about a pastor. Pray, you know, God's not going to leave you or forsake you. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." I'm sure you're doing this. How hard are you doing it? Prayer is something that's very important. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ." He hasn't abandoned you. He's going to help you. He knows all about it. He's going to help you through this time. Another thing is we need to know the Word. So, in a sermon one time I spoke about, I said, so let's say you're going to college and you take these classes. And when you're taking these classes, you're going to get a grade at the end, right? So you need to know the stuff so you can get a good grade, or you're going to get an F. Sometimes I wonder how it is with us Christians. How well do we know the Word? How much time do we get into the Word? And that's a struggle. Or I don't know what you guys do. It's a struggle for me. I don't like reading. It's a struggle for me. But I found that when I read it, it really helps me. And I need to know the Word. What does the Word say? What's it say about all kinds of things? About salvation, about repentance, about asking forgiveness, and all these different things. It tells us how, Paul tells us in here, if you go back and read 1 Corinthians, he tells them how to deal with these situations. And he tells them to stop doing this. Care about people. He gives them advice all through that. But it's not just in Corinthians, it's in almost every book of the Bible. Paul wrote, 13 or 14 of the books of the Bible. And he's telling them all the same thing. There was struggles. There was all this stuff going on. He's like, stop sinning. Do this. Do that. He gave them solutions for what he was talking about. So we need to know the Word, just like a college student goes and takes a class and they learn what's there and they got to know the stuff at the end. They get tested. Another thing, obey what he shows you. Do it. Don't be like me when God called me into ministry and then I go around praying and sicking God on everybody in my community because I don't want to do what he shows me to do. When he shows you what to do, when he shows you the path to take or whatever it might be, and these things we're talking about might be personal just for you, or it might be corporate as a group of you. But whatever he shows you to do, do it. Just do it. It'll save you a lot of headaches, because I know. Because I sticked him on everybody in my community that I could think of, because I said, he would be better than me. Judy, we talked, so after we were here before we waited around for Mike and Judy, and we went to Subway and spent hours talking. That was really good to catch up. But I know that you didn't feel comfortable getting up late and singing. You kind of shared that. Well, none of us feel very comfortable about doing some of these things. But God will use you anyway, okay? He'll use you through it. And you'll learn and grow and it'll become easier. But be obedient. Folks, be obedient. Because I know that I haven't always been obedient. The Word says obedience is better than sacrifice. Love each other. Stay in unity. Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Love is a really important subject. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. He wants us to be in unity. He wants us to love each other. And I'll tell you what. If you want to find out what people think of our church, whichever one we go to, go out in the community and start talking to some people that aren't Christians. You'll find all about your church. And you'll find all about ourselves. Maybe, if they're honest with us. Because you'll know them by their love. We're like a light on a hill. People see us. And if we they see something loving and see something where you respond right to people, they want to be part of it. But why would they want to be part of a church that's fighting and backbiting and all kinds of problems? I mean, I know people in Summit Valley, they won't darken the door of that church. I don't care who's there. They won't come because they got a bad taste in their mouth about how the church was. Or they saw people that were hypocritical. And, you know, the church is full of hypocritical people. We're not perfect. Whoa. I guess I put my hand in the wrong place. But, you know, we should not allow those things to hold us back. No matter what anybody else does, I need to serve the Lord. I need to walk with Him. Not say, well, I'm not going to that church or this church or whatever because of what's going on in these places. But He wants us to love one another. He doesn't want divisions. 1 John 3:11 says, "For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another." And all of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks all about love. I'd just like to close by reading a little. In fact, I asked Garrett if he'd come read it. Garrett, would you come on up and read this? This morning, it's a devotion out of a devotional book that my wife had, and I'd like to just kind of close with that. So I hope you think about some of the things, and you don't see this church as defeated or yourself as defeated or something, because He wants you to be a victorious church. I want to encourage you this morning. I was encouraged coming here. I don't know what you guys think about what you're going through and doing and stuff, but I was encouraged. You guys have a tremendous opportunity here to reach out to this area and this community. But it's not easy, and it takes work. And like I said, you don't work, you don't do the work to get into heaven. You do the work because you care about people and you love God. And you put yourself, you put them before yourselves. So I just want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. Keep on. It's tough. But just continue to pray. Continue to put those things into practice I shared with you today. Stand firm. Stand firm in the Lord. All right, go ahead. That's that page.
Author James Baldwin wrote, "Children have never been good at listening to their elders, but they have never failed to imitate them." At the heart of this quote is a reminder that people, not just children, may choose to ignore what we say, but most people can't deny the words of our actions speak that our actions speak. Our actions, whether positive or negative, influence others. If what we profess about Jesus doesn't align with our actions, it can cause others to turn a deaf ear to what we say. Likewise, actions that demonstrate Christ's love can influence someone for the good. The Bible is filled with examples of those who influenced others, more through their actions than their words. Lydia's entire household was baptized after she was in Acts 16:14-15. And what about the jailer in the same chapter of Acts? He became a believer in Jesus after witnessing Paul and Silas's words and actions. The men chose to stay in prison even when the prison doors flew open. I personally love that Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul acknowledged, personally love what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:5. Paul acknowledged the faith of two women who raised Timothy, his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Their faith was on display for Timothy throughout his life, in the mundane day-to-day routines as well as on special occasions. His faith was influenced by how they lived. How we live matters, not just for ourselves and our personal commitments to God, but those who are watching us. People aren't always good at following what we say, but they sure can imitate what we do.
How you live matters. live like you're a light on a hill, people will see your Christianity. They'll see Jesus in us. And pray that they will come to know him. I struggle with a lot of things about church, and since I've stopped being at Summit Valley, especially right at first, I was like, I read Acts over and over and over and over, and I was asking myself, how did they do church? What did they do? We need to be about those things that they do. You know, we need to be concerned that there's a lost world out there that don't know Jesus. How can we reach them as a body? Some of those kind of things. Letting our light shine is one of the biggest ways. People might not listen when you tell them the gospel, but they can't argue with your way you live your life. They can't argue with the things that you do for the Lord. So I want to encourage you in that. So we need to move on. We're going to have communion this morning. I've not been to this church. I don't know exactly how you do it, but I understand there's a couple guys going to come up and pass that out. So if you guys could do that. And this could be a whole nother sermon. I promise I'm not going to give you another sermon, but I would like to read through it, and I'll tell you why. Because there's some consequences along with taking it. We're here to remember Jesus, but he put some conditions on the end of it that I don't hear hardly anybody stresses. And sometimes we just come and we take communion. They pass it out and we take it, and it's not very meaningful. I want it to be meaningful in your life. And if you're having a struggle or a problem with somebody, it says don't take it and go get that straightened out first and then take it. So I want to encourage you guys with that. And I just want to read these scriptures. Starts out, he kind of gets after him a little bit about the divisions among them and stuff in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Kind of gets after him a little bit, and he gets up farther and tells them they're taking it in the wrong way and stuff like that. Well, not the wrong way, but the wrong reasons and stuff. You guys can go ahead and pass it out if you'd like. And then he comes to verse 23, and it says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread." And yeah, when you pass it out, you guys just hang on to it and we'll all take it together, if that's all right. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For everyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if you judge yourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." Thank you. A lot of people... A lot of people, they read that first part, but nobody reads, at least the places I've been, don't seem to read the second part. So I want to encourage you, as we take it, and as you get the juice, take a minute to think about the Lord. Remember all the things that he's done for us. He's the God that saved our soul. And sometimes I think we take that too lightly. We're going to be with him one day in heaven. What a glorious thing that's going to be. But he also tells us that sometimes you shouldn't take it because you're drinking judgment on yourself. It's why some are sick and why some are this or that. We do it in remembrance of what he's done for us. Not how good we are. If you've had some struggles with your life, it's a good time to tell him and ask him to forgive you, that you're sorry. You want to remember that he died on the cross for you and me. He paid that price that we take too lightly sometimes. So as we take it together, let's just read again. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat the bread together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's take the juice together. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for each one of us. We do want to remember, Lord, you are the best thing that's ever happened in my life, Lord. Help me and help each one of us to follow you, to walk with you, Lord, and to remember, to never forget, Lord, but to remember what you've done for us and how we get to be a child of God, how we get to come and be with you one day, and that you've gone away to prepare a place for us. Thank you for all you do, Lord. Be with this congregation now. Help them as they go through this process, Lord, in the next period of time. Help them, encourage them, and Lord, use them, help stretch them. Lord, do whatever you want to do in this place. Lord, I pray that one day there'll be a big harvest, Lord. Lord, you'd fill this place once again. We know it's been full in the past. But once again, this place would be full of your people, praising you and worshiping you, hearing your word, doing your work. Lord, I pray that you'd keep us steadfast, each one, Lord, steadfast in the faith, Lord, and you'd help us to continue to do your work. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for allowing me to be here today and to speak with you. I appreciate it. I had talked to Rob. I called Judy first because I knew you guys, well, quite a while ago, didn't have a pastor. And I called up Mike and Judy, and Judy answered the phone. And I was talking to her, and she said, Robert was helping you guys and scheduling and all of that. So he's a good guy. I've known him a long time, not super well, but we see each other and talk now and then and stuff. But he's a good guy. And yeah, anyway, that's how I got here, was by talking to him. And he said, "Well, how about the 5th? All right. So I don't know, you guys close by, how you close? I'll turn it back to you, and sounds good. I know that this might be a little longer than you guys normally go. I think you guys normally stop at noon, don't you? Some of us get too long, but